Week. Yeah, I'll repeat that. I normally have about 20 pages of notes. You watch me, you think I'm fanning myself, but I'm not. So, today, this is it. This is just a page marker. What are we going to do with this little thing? We're going to look at four passages. In light of what's going on, we need to understand some things from the biblical perspective. And we need to understand what's going on in our world. And I have to ask, why is all this going on? I don't know about you, but in my lifetime, the best time of my life were in the late 50s and early 60s. And I'd love to go back to the 60s. Anybody want to go with me? Yeah. I saw Elvis born, you know, that kind of thing. So I was in that era, and that was a great era. What happened? When we were going to Seattle, I did not want to leave the hospital because my phone wasn't working, and I didn't know how to get back to the motel room. And I wasn't about to go out on the streets of Seattle and get lost. I did one time, and I finally figured it out, but I decided never again. And when you go through Olympia, it used to be a clean town. You go through now, and it's filth. You can't close your eyes and still get through Olympia, but I'd like to try it. What happened? So we look at this and we think, what's going on? And you can boil it down to one thing. What's the one thing? Sin. It is not society and having a good place to live. Because at the end of the sermon, I'm going to take us all there. And we're going to look at the closing chapters. We are who we are because we're sinners. And sinners create this problem, and God knew all about it, and there are things that we see that happen in general, and God is not fooled. But we look, what's going on? Why is it getting so bad? As you know, a little over 2 years ago, an idiot down by where we lived, when the winds were blowing at 45 miles an hour, struck a match in the greenway, and our town burned. 2,400 homes. 100 businesses in town went. It was black from Ashland all the way up into Medford. And there we were. And our house went up in about 2 or 3 minutes once the fire reached the neighbor. It looked like Sodom and Gomorrah. Started by a guy that they found setting the fires. They arrested him. There was a death in our mobile home unit. A guy was out trying to rescue people, and he was the only one that died. So this guy that started the fires is up for murder. Why do people do that? Then yesterday, a man, a young family, was over somewhere across the peninsula. They pulled up on some errand. They parked, and a man came over and shot him in front of his young family and his wife. What kind of a world do we live in? Then I read someone who tracks statistics on attacks. Take a guess. How many Christian churches and Christian organizations were attacked last year? How many do you think? Over 1,100 reported. There's some that weren't reported. There's usually a lot not reported. A nation is allowing our believing populace to be attacked. So, we go back. And we were living in Southern Oregon, and we thought that Portland had become the pits. And then we started hearing about Chicago, murder capital of the world. And then we started seeing Seattle in the news. So this morning, I asked Brad to come and share for a couple minutes, who was a police officer in Seattle, why he decided to leave that mess. You're on. Yep, come on up. Got a mic. Are these things live?
No, it needs to be turned on, just right there at the end.
At the end?
Right, yeah. Should be a little green light come on there.
Little green light. I'll get a Martian for sure. Am I on?
Am I on? Still? There.
Try the other one.
That one.
How many Pollocks does it take to turn a microphone on?
How about now? Is that working?
No.
Bring it up close.
Real close.
Yeah?
Good?
Good.
As mentioned, I was a police officer in Seattle. I was there for 10 years and 5 years in Denver, Colorado before that. So being in big cities, I'd seen plenty of evil and hate and just bad things because people are people. And it's just kind of part of the job. You see it. In Seattle, of course, May Day, for those that live around here, was a yearly circus that we dealt with and riots and anarchy and stuff. But it was kind of expected and almost a bit of a game. Until 2020 and the riots of George Floyd and the BLM and stuff like that, the countrywide formation of evil and hate and what we faced off with across the fence lines was something I hadn't seen in a decade and a half. It was downright scary. For the first time in 15 years plus Army time before that, I was scared to go to work. And not so much that I was not willing to square off with that, but the city leaders we had were taking tools away from us and setting us up for failure and having us abandon my precinct and allowing the chop zone and all that and just allowing Sodom and Gomorrah to happen. And I was sitting there watching it. And like I said, not that I was not willing to do it, but just against my morals, values, principles, everything, watching this happen and just being told to stand back and allow it, I couldn't take it. So I retired early and brought us out here, and I'm as happy as could be about that. But yeah, there's a different sort of evil in the world now than there was in 2005 when I started police work. So that's what I saw, and not good.
Okay, good. Thank you. Yep. Well, between the two of us, maybe we can turn it off. Is it this way?
Yeah. Warren has a question.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a neighbor who was a police officer in Belgium. He left for the same reason. He felt he couldn't do his job.
Yeah. That's tough. Okay. Okay, this is not a question and answer time, by the way, but if we get done, we might have some. Okay, thanks, Brad. All right. Now today, I want you to use your Bibles. Okay, the first one is Romans 1. This passage in chapter 1, Paul is setting the doctrinal guidelines for what the believers in Rome are to understand. And he's showing them the corruptness of man and how they used to have the law, but the law is no longer, you can't live up to the law doesn't save, and yet people are left in their sin. And so how do people called Christians face this evil world. And so Romans 1, starting at verse 18, gives us God's perspective as he looks at people enslaved in sin, and there is a pattern, okay? Romans 1, 18 and the following is a pattern of how cities or nations take a spiral, and God tells us what the steps in the spiral are that go down. This is a picture of how nations collapse spiritually and morally, and then something else has to happen. So Romans 1 is about this pattern of moral decline. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. Stop. So you go out at night, when it's a clear night around this neck of the woods, and you look up and see the stars, if we're lucky enough to see them on occasion, and you look up and you see the grandeur of God's creation. But one thing that should tell you every time you look at the heavens is this was not made by an immoral, corrupt God. This is Almighty God who had a purpose and design. You can see the purpose and design. We can see his creation in human beings. And we can see his creation here that allows us to exist in our daily lives. And so it is a fabulous creation. It's all working together, and you cannot explain it away. So God says that when you look up and see everything, you can tell about the nature of God and his basic core. You don't understand God as Savior, but you understand him in his basic character, that he's an awesome, fantastic God, a God of order and design and ability. And what he is leading people to understand should be heeded, okay? 21, for although we knew God, they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So once mankind takes his eyes off the character of God in heaven that is clearly visible, God says it is. And if God says it is, we need to understand it is. And so if his character is clearly visible, and then men start carving things and bow down and worship them, it means they have rejected what they see in the heavens, and now they've gone to worshiping the created things rather than the Creator. So, from the moment that man rejects God and begins to worship the creation rather than Creator, here comes the spiral. Here's how it begins. Verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to what? Impurity. To the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. What's that? What is that? What kind of life is that? Let's read it again. What is this? God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, sexual immorality is one of the first steps in a downward spiral of a nation. Now, back in the 60s, okay? I know we had Haight-Ashbury. I was on the college campus looking across the bay. And we went over and visited Haight-Ashbury. We took a walk through Berkeley, never again. You know, there was the hippie generation. But the world was not anything like it is today. I thought it was bad when there were college students having sex in the open on the campus of Berkeley. But it's come down to that there were junior hires on some of the buses down in Medford that had sex on the bus. It's pretty bad. So it's spiraling, and it starts, once you take your eyes off of God, the first thing you go to is the inner drive within people, and that first inner drive is sex, immorality, first one. Verse 25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Take your eyes off of God, put them on the world, and the first thing that will drive you is your passions, your lusts. First thing. Verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about more passions. So God says, if you want to follow your lusts and your passion, your immorality, I'll give you over to it. So when you let people be handed over to their passions, what do they pursue? Their passions, right? It gets worse. So God says, you're going to be immoral, I'll let you be immoral. Have at it. So God gave them over to dishonorable passions, for their women exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. So he starts with the women. What do women do with each other? What do we call them? Lesbian. 27. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passions for one another. That is, men. What do we call that? Homosexual. Okay? Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. There is penalty, physical penalty, like it or not, deny it or not, shame people for saying it. There is physical penalty in that lifestyle. Scripture says so. I don't need to go to a former doctor from CDC and have him tell me, no, that's not true. Verse 28. For since they did not see it to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind. So now people are given up. Their thoughts now are focused on their own brain, their own way they want to think, and it's filled all the time with sexual thoughts and depravity and improper behavior and relationships. It's in their mind all the time. To do what not ought to be done. Well, what a thought. Don't ever let anybody shame you for believing or promoting or telling anybody that immorality, the lesbian, the homosexual, the transgender, and all that is wrong. Pastors in Canada are getting arrested for doing it. It could happen here. Don't give up the message, because the message is still true. 29. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, curbside shooting of families right through the window of the car. Strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but they give approval to those who practice them. Did you watch the Super Bowl? They showed real quick. You know, they show glimpses around the world. And every Super Bowl, they'll pick out one of our military bases, and they show the guys standing, saluting, singing, whatever. And they showed this one clip. The guys were there in uniform or whatever. They were regular-looking people on the left and on the right. And down the middle, do you recall the one that was really different? What was down the middle? The rainbow. Just what you want to see, right? Why? Why is our nation going that way? Because this mentality wants company. I want people to believe and accept my way. Because if I can get you to accept my way, you accept my ideas, and you'll do it along with me, and we'll all go along happily down the trail of destruction, but it'll be fine for us. Misery loves company. Sin loves more sinners. Immorality draws in more immorality. This is the way that nations spiral down. So where do you think we are in the spiral? I think we're pretty far down. I think we're really about due for collapse. And that's scary. I don't want it. But I think we're due. 1 Timothy 1:8. First Timothy 1:8. Now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the what? Lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral. There's supposed to be laws protecting society against the sexually immoral, not promoting it. Men who practice, here, what's it say? Men who practice homosexuality, you should be allowed to preach it openly from the pulpit. It's in Scripture. Not be arrested for it. Next word, this is very interesting, enslavers. What's coming across our border? Thousands of illegal entrants. And many of them are children and women smuggled in. They are enslaved. And they are being sold to practice what people want to use them for all over the world. We have that going on by the thousands. As we speak right here now, people are coming across in enslavement. So many you can't count them. Liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. Paul would never back off from his biblical standard, ever. And I will not back off. The truth has been spoken. God's word is forever settled in heaven, and it must be declared. It is the only hope. Because man is captivated in sin, and he is going to drag everything down. The only hope is for people to hear the gospel. So this is Paul telling Timothy, point blank, that lifestyles that are immoral are wrong, and you should take action. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. But understand this, that in the last days, this is a different use of the term last days. This is not referring to the prophetical event of the tribulation period. Not going there. It's talking about last days in the days in which Paul was preaching. So understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. He was facing them. So was Timothy. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive. Do you know of anybody that's abusive? How about you try to have a school board meeting and you get shouted down, or you are called to address, say, a student body, and they don't like it. What do? Shout you down. Abusive, disrespectful, won't listen. You don't think like us. You don't believe what we do. Well, we're not going to let you talk. Abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless. Have you noticed that? Heartless. How can anybody just walk over and shoot a father in the head with his family there watching and just turn around and walk away cold? How can you do that? Heartless. Unappeasable. Is our nation divided and nobody can come to terms on anything? Have you ever seen it more divided? I'm not supposed to be political. I'm political. Okay? This is the worst condition I've ever seen our country in. I'm ashamed. Slanderous. Without self-control, brutal. How many elder senior citizens have we seen attacked on the streets and knocked down? Many, many, day after day. Slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. And then what does it say? Avoid such people. So my mind goes, wait a minute. How are you supposed to reach people like that if Scripture says avoid them? You don't run around with them as your close buddies. When you have opportunity to preach to them, witness to them, you do. But you don't buddy up to them. You don't make them your best friends. And if your best friends are involved in that kind of a lifestyle, they should not be coming over to your house for dinner. Okay, this is what Paul said. This is now his instruction to Timothy. So we've gone from the beginning from Romans and a major doctrinal treatment to over Timothy, and now this is towards the end of his days. And he's still holding the same line. 30 years later, Paul is still preaching the same message. This is what God says. So now, where's this going to end up? So we're going to go over to Revelation 20. Revelation 20 and verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are ended, that is the millennial reign of Christ, Christ is on this earth, he has returned, he has set up his kingdom, the earth has been repopulated, the curse is lifted, everything is blooming, it's beautiful, that you couldn't ask for a better condition on earth. The curse is gone, and God is there in control and giving us all jobs to do, and we're working with the Lord, we're ruling, we're doing everything he wants to do. All the government that is underway is by his direction. It is perfect, right? Perfect. So we come in. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth. Let that sink in. People are scattered around the earth during the millennial period. No, everybody does not live in Jerusalem. You got that? Jerusalem is a center, but the population is still spread over the whole earth. So, there are four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. To gather them for battle, their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, that's Jerusalem, and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever. So here is the common statement. If the world was a better place and society treated everybody fairly and rightly and equally, we'd all get along and we'd all be happy, right? What's the one thing that keeps that from happening? Sin. Sin nature. Because when you turn Satan loose to go after all these people, and who's he going after? He's going after all the people that have seen God on the throne, have been watching millions of believers serve God. They've watched the angels serve God throughout the millennial reign, 1,000 years. They've seen this all get underway and work perfectly. And they decide, I don't like it. I think there's a better way. You got a better way than God? I don't think so. But there's going to be rebellion because Satan will stir up in their hearts the very heart of sin. And the heart of sin says, God's holding something out of me. There's got to be a better way. There's something I want. I want to do it my way, and I want to do it now. That's at the heart of sin. So you drop that into the middle of a perfect environment, and what wins? Sin. So that's why they come and they march against Jerusalem. The saints, many of them are around Jerusalem. And so they're coming in with one purpose. They're coming to kill the believers, whoever stands in the way, because they want to kill God. That's sin. You mean if you live in a perfect world? This passage proves it. Because the one thing you can't change is the old sin nature. And you can go up to Seattle and you can start a program. But you drive through Olympia and it'll look the same. The old saying, you build it, they will come. I don't care how many villages with little houses that you set up, there will never be enough. And when you offer them free living, and I have to offer you above your living standard, and at a next level where you will probably never reach, but I got to offer it to you legally, guess what? You just established a system that is doomed to fail. So Seattle is always going to be Seattle like it is. Portland's going to be the way it is. The cities that are going under and all the other places that are experiencing the same thing around this globe are going down because that's the way the spiral works. Scary, isn't it? Oh, so what if God steps in? What if he steps into our world right now and he says, America, you've had it. I think maybe it's time for you to speak Chinese. Could that happen? Yeah. So See, Israel, they were comfortable. And God prepared ahead. Israel didn't understand what was going on, but God prepared a people to come in and to be his discipliners of Israel without them realizing what was happening, and came in and destroyed Israel. We call that the Babylonian captivity. Did they learn? We call the next one the Assyrian captivity. Did they learn? We call another one the Roman captivity. Do you know how many wars have been fought and lost in Israel? 25. How would you like to live under 25 different governments? America could go down. It could. This is not a message about doomsday. But we're in the spiral. And it's scary. So I decided I had to preach about this, because when people attack our Christian ministries, one that we've been profiting from, one we've been supporting, and we see that kind of stuff going on, like, whoa, wait a minute. Do you understand why? Do you understand how big this is? It's not just here, but it's happening thousands of places around the world. Wake up. What else? Pray. What else? Witness. What else? Speak the truth without reservation. Don't back down. Don't blush. This is what God says. This is where I believe the Bible. We can get smacked down for it. Yeah. I fully expect it to get much worse before whatever happens is going to happen. And it's kind of scary. Okay, that is the thing. God is in control. He knows all about it. I can place it in his hands, so I go on living. I do not live in fear, but I'm going to live obediently. Which brings me to ask this question. And we've kicked this around at the board. If you have been in this church for a while, but you're not a member, you're waiting for an opportunity to join, we believe that you need to be plugged into a church. We want to give you opportunity, and we want to say that if you need to join the fellowship, that it's open. We'll be happy to talk with you about that. If there's other decisions you need to make because you know that you need to walk closer with God, we want to help you do that. If you haven't been baptized, this is not a message about baptism, you know, but if there's something in your life that you need to do to get closer with God, to walk with him in these days of difficulty, we want to encourage you to do it. So if you haven't been baptized, if you haven't joined the church, if there's some other need that you have, and if there's something going on in your life, you need counseling, you know you're not living the way you should, then we want to help you with that too. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you've saved us for an outstanding future. We thank you, Lord, that we are headed for glory, and we can't fathom what it's like, but we know it'll be wonderful. And so we pray and with fear and trembling about this nation, the way it's going. We just pray that you will help us to be the lights in this world that we need to be. And we pray that you will wake people up and give us the opportunity to reach people who seemingly have no ear or interest in you now at all. So we pray that you'll open doors for us. And so we pray for the ability to follow you sensitively and to be obedient and to work together in the ministry of this church. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.